Listeners, welcome back to the Power Hour. I hear that opening music and I start getting into it and I have to remember, start talking, Alan. Alan Myers here, filling in, keeping the mic warm. The call-in number, I've got to say this so I don't forget. Call-in number, 717-300-1698. And if you're looking for good deals, if you want to buy from the good guys, check out thepowermall.com. I am thrilled to introduce the guest for today, for the next hour, Judd Dunning. He is the host of Unapologetic, the Judd Dunning Hour. It's 790 KABC on Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. West Coast time. He hosts Bullet Point Nation, and he's written a book recently, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal. He's been on a long, long journey from going from a self-described liberal to conservative. Judd, welcome to the Power Hour.
Gentlemen, may I bring power? Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you. What I'd like to open with is, because I get real, and Roman's still here, but he's just going to stay in the background for a while.
Yeah.
But I get real picky on words, not to be cranky or nasty, just because sometimes need to be real specific. So, Judd, I'd like to open with, you used the term liberal and conservative. To you, you've gone from a liberal to a conservative. What does being a liberal mean to you, and what does a conservative mean to you? And then we'll get into the journey.
Well, I think it's interesting because the language, right, was flipped in the 30s. So we all understand that originally that Republicans were liberal, to be liberal of government, right? And then there was a flip of the lexicon of politics in American history. So, you know, if you go back to what our founding fathers put in place, was it was a system of distrust, a positive system of distrust to protect our negative liberties. So conservatism today would be, it'd be flipped over on what conservative is. But for a classical liberal, this is what you'll hear people like Bill Maher talk about and others, you know, a classical liberal would be more toward the conservative side. And this is really what's happened in our nation right now, is we've got this extreme polarity, but our country isn't actually in extreme polarity. Like, you know, look, there's 6% of progressive, radical, harder leftists have alienated like 26% of American, traditional Democrats. So it's kind of a loaded question right now because the parties have shifted and they're internally fractured. But to simplify it, I think to take it full circle for you, I would think of it in terms of care. And when I think of what cares for our country more, what cares for my country more would be limited government, a clear rule of law, you know, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, human dignity. Where a personal left, and I said, I live in Hollywood, so, or in Los Angeles, would care about, you know, education, saving the planet, fairness, Mother Nature. So they've been simplified, they've been dumbed down, but it was always related to the federalist system, like how much power is going to go to the states, how much is going to go to the national government. So, you know, there's so much we could say about this, of what I think a liberal is today. I have a whole different opinion of what today's liberal is versus what a classical liberal would be.
Thank you for that. I'll comment. And in the first hour, Roman and I spoke a lot about the Constitution in reference to some of the news articles we were discussing. And I am somewhat of a student of the Constitution. This government was founded on enumerated limited powers. They absolutely distrusted big government because they lived under the boot of England, Great Britain, and that they were probably those who actually wanted to live in a system that was controlled and governed by people, not by a monarch, dictator, or tyrant. Well, that was incredibly liberal thinking. That was radical thinking. So yeah, to your point, a liberal used to be somebody who actually wanted to be constitutional. Now it's about the exact opposite. A liberal or a progressive is somebody who wants more and more centralization of power in a smaller and smaller group of hands. This has never worked out well in the history of humanity. So I do agree.
Couple quotes I have in my recent article in Newsmax to support what you're saying, to open up the conversation. The only maximum of free government ought to be trust no man living with the power to endanger the public liberty, John Adams. Another one. Reason and free inquiry are the only effectual agents against error, Thomas Jefferson. One more. For if men are to be precluded from offering their sentiments on a matter which may involve the most serious and alarming consequences that can invite the consideration of mankind, reason is no use to us. The freedom of speech may be taken away, and dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. George Washington. The entire system was set up to keep government in a box with its real, you know, with national defense infrastructure, creating a currency, and then allow free markets and individualism to run. And, you know, obviously big government, I mean, that's a real, like, to give the Constitution, get fascinated with it, which is so beautiful and meaningful. But meanwhile, big government and big free markets exist side by side, and they're massive. So we keep having these conversations to try to keep tweaking them back into their proper role, which is a generational thing more so than an individual thing. But very important conversation. It is the conversation of America that should never stop.
Absolutely. Since we're throwing quotes out, how about I throw one out?
Let's hear it.
Okay. To take from one, because it thought his own industry and that of his father's has acquired too much, in order to spare to others who or whose fathers have not exercised equal industry and skill, is to violate arbitrarily the first principle of association. The guarantee to everyone the free exercise of his industry and the fruits acquired by it. Thomas Jefferson to a letter to George Logan, November 12th. No, wait, I'm sorry. This was to Joseph Milligan, April 6th, 1816. Kind of sounds like today.
It does sound like today. And that's... Isn't that the beauty of America, though, is that everything replicates. Everything replicates. When I became a young socialist, when I was young, it was white, repressive, oligarchical, corporatist, climate-hating America, and I had to get away. Well, that's the exact dialogue that cultural Marxists are now coming into our our fair country. People are forgetting gratitude. Like, my whole thing is, like, people want to label me and make me this person or whatever, but I'm a gratitude guy. Like, if you look at, like, how free we radically are in this great country, then you go ahead and hate for the day, but 95% of you needs to be focused on what's amazingly powerful, free and enterprising and prosperous and sustaining in America and powerful. Every generation likes to say, oh my God, it's the end of the epic, you know, but the truth is we created something pretty powerful and pretty hard to stop.
Thank you for that, Judd. I'm going to throw in two more, then we'll move on to people who are alive today. You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. Abraham Lincoln. And this one just really resonates with me, and it's always in my head. When injustice becomes law, then resistance becomes duty. Thomas Jefferson. And there's that word, duty, what we're not educated to. that we have the opportunity that was given to us that I don't think we were educated, and I definitely wasn't. I've only been awake for about 10 years. We are not educated to fully appreciate and understand what the founders gave us, which means we don't really understand what we need to take care of. And there comes that word, duty. Well, let's get into your book, shall we?
Sure.
All right. The title, what was it, 13 and a half Reasons Why Not to Be a Liberal?
And How to Enlighten Others.
Yeah, there you go. Now, it's you got 13 chapters in there, and you break them down into sections into economics, cultural and social issues, safety and security. Let's talk about the first chapter. Big government fails in almost everything, and that's kind of was my theme in the first hour. Tell me what's in that chapter.
Well, I love what Dennis Prager says. The bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. So when we talk about conservative and liberal, what we have to really look at is every time we empower this machine, definitely influenced by influence and influenced by plutocracy and influenced by money and oligarchy. I mean, we have these real forces. I mean, there is big money in the world. That's one of the reasons that we have checks and balances in our system. But government has failed for a very long time. I mean, the New Deal that leftists like to say was so amazing, it failed to lift America out of the Great Depression. And then the Supreme Court came in and had to remove like a majority of those laws because we stepped into individual liberty, right? So that the New Deal failed at the very end because there was too much to exchange liberty. And then later, look at the war on poverty. Like, blacks were upwardly mobile in the 40s, and they were dynamically moving ahead of their challenging beginnings with what had happened in our history in America that we were ascending over. And then we came in and said, oh, well, we're going to fix this and progress this. 72% of illegitimacy rates amongst blacks have decimated black neighbors. The war on poverty failed. Look at the 2008 housing crisis created by, you know, prior government policies, liberal politicians led by, you know, Frank Dodd and Barney Frank and Christopher Dodd played racial politics to the bank. Everybody deserves a house, right? Look at Solyndra, and then we had all the green jobs under Obama, and he's like, hey, shovel ready. And he jumped. He goes, oh, shovel ready. He's not as shovel ready as we expected. You know, and I covered this on a show yesterday. We're about to have a big pork blackout, essentially, in California. So what happened is on Prop 12, to take it to the moment, everyone said, oh, my gosh, yeah, you know, pigs and veal calves and chickens should have more space because it's more humane. I'm definitely voting for that. Look at these horrible ads. Well, 4% of hog farms are compliant because of construction costs and COVID challenging issues on supply chains. So we're about to see a 60% increase because people wanted to feel good and put a new bumper sticker on their Prius. And it's, you know, look, and I'm a vegetarian, and I think it'd be a great thing. But I knew to tell a bunch of people that they have to expand real estate because government got in the middle of that. Now we're looking at 60% increase, and we have a pork crisis on 25 million pork pounds in our state. It's a joke. It's not a joke. There's a lot of, like, when government toggles little switches, it tends to screw things up. And it's again and again and again. What works best, we know. Free markets, free individual choice. We don't need to be Europe. We don't need a centralized government to protect us. Like the experiment of Stalinism in the 1930s that America got fascinated with, saying that American exceptionalism is heresy, Joseph Stalin said. And we're like, oh, Joe is amazing. We need to run this centralized experiment. They did. 50 million people died. So government is not the answer. Less government with the right containers is. And like I said, it's so easy to get into the simplicity of leftist, rightist arguments because they both exist. But basically what we have to do every 4 years, like Trump just did, Trump just said, hey, for every two regulations, every one regulation's new, two have to go. And our Federal Registry got much smaller, and we got freer, and we went into supply-side boom because we deregulated and we released American innovation. We don't need government to do these things. Really, everybody out there can trust themselves. We inherently are a good society.
Judd, thank you for that. I'm listening to you thinking, God, he sounds a lot like me. Now, you brought up the Depression, which was an absolutely god-awful time, and I've come to look at pictures from that time period. You look at the people in the breadlines. These people are devastated because they can't work. But how did we get the Depression? Now, my area, you wouldn't know, my area is basic monetary system education. I've studied this for now 10 years. And there's a quote from Milton Friedman, Nobel winner, Nobel laureate. The Great Depression was terrible, and we got the New Deal. Gee, I wonder if there was a connection. According to Milton Friedman, the Federal Reserve definitely caused the Great Depression by contracting the amount of money and currency by one-third from 1929 to 1933. The Great Depression was not an accident. It was not a whoopsie. And who did we get? We got FDR, big government guy. And what did we get? Oh, we're going to have the federal government take care of us and give us all these programs. Great. Where are you going to get the funding? They never talk about the source of funding. And one thing else, just tied to the monetary system, it is well the people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. That's Henry Ford. You used the word toggle, which I like, and that, you know, federal government kind of tends to not do a good job. I think you're being too kind. I don't know when the federal government does a good job when it gets into our business. Earlier, I was speaking about Social Security and how that fund is going to basically run out of all of its excess by 2035, no later. The 2008 event, which I studied, the 2008 event and the housing crash and everything came from basically saying you can lie on a loan application, stated income, and buy anything. And the reason the initial lenders were taking these is because they could turn around and sell these loans to Wall Street. And Wall Street packaged them up. And everybody became enamored with them. And we saw what happened. You may know this, Judd. The last thing is that, you know, all those collateralized debt obligations had AAA ratings. Did any rating agency get sued for its ratings? Not one.
Yes, not one.
And the reason that is because I don't know if it's the 35 or the 36 Securities Act. Rating agencies are financially exempt for any liability related to their ratings because it's just their opinion. Nice. Your second chapter, because we got a couple minutes and we'll come back to it after the break. I love this. Life is not fair and people are inherently unequal. Free market, capitalism, and individual liberty. Talk about this for a few minutes. We go to break at 28.
Got it. You know, if I can I just back as one thing I wanted to say about the last chapter, I think it's so important.
Oh, go right ahead.
Is that all right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, America, I think what we saw, you brought up such a point, is I think America saw, like, we had the crisis with our election. And what we saw in America was stability was more important than justice. Like, we didn't really, we're like, oh, this is crazy. The courts didn't get involved. It came this issue. Like, okay, what's the big deal? You know, IRS knocks on my door, says, like, they want to audit me. They audit me. As far as I'm concerned, people should audit indefinitely. Where this is a democratic society. It shouldn't be virtue signaled and shamed and canceled and all this craziness with big tech that's going on. But America chooses stability over justice. And you brought up a point. We saw that in January 6th. But we also saw it with Big Stern and Bear Stearns and Lehman. Like, when they've plummeted, we're like, oh, let's bail out Goldman. Let's stop here. There's a point that we can tolerate instability. And sometimes, and here's the conundrum that I, as a conservative, and everybody should have, sometimes, yes, stability does matter. So I have empathy. I just want you to know I'm balanced on this. I mean, we were trying to keep it together. But yeah, it was greed. But the problem is, you go all the way back to Clinton era, and we said everybody should have a house. What people don't realize is 324 million Americans, of that is the 1%. And there are 1%, that's 9.24 million Americans. That means you make more than $487,000 a year, or you have $1 million in net worth or more. But the average American is worth about makes about $58,000 as a couple, right? So it's not a lot of money. And why? Because it's hard. We're a meritocracy. You can pursue greatness, but most people have to know that it's hard to get there. It's not about privilege. It's hard. You know, I tell my kids, hey, it's hard. You know, it's okay. And so you get to go out and play this sport. We can't de-risk it for you. Equal opportunity, equal outcome. And the government's role was never to take that away. And that is where big government expands and fails, because our job is not to take away your journey to nobly succeed or fail. So it's interesting. There's so much hyperbole around the 1%. I see them as like gladiators of divinity and luck, timing, and preparation all came together. And, you know, maybe you get there, maybe you don't. Welcome to America.
Judd, thank you for that. I'm going to make one comment. I know we're about to go to break. Remember, we're guaranteed pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of it. We'll be right back. This is the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Just recently, recently. We both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Yeah, we are back. The Power Hour. Alan Myers here, sitting in, keeping the mic warm. I'm joined today by Jud Dunning and my friend Roman Valenzuela. If you want to call in, because it's pretty exciting stuff, 717-300-1698. And thanks to the Power Mall for supporting this program. When you buy from them, you buy from the good guys, thepowermall.com. Jud, welcome back.
Thank you, gentlemen. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We were talking off mic. And to finish up on the first chapter, big government fails at almost everything. Again, I think you're being a little kind, but I would probably just get rid of the AL in front of that most. But you brought up such a good point, and I hadn't thought about that. There's this contrast between stability and justice. And I get it and I see it. But my question is, can you truly have stability, long lasting stability, just, fair stability without justice? What do you think, Jud?
Absolutely not, right? And we kind of touched on this in the break. So the people say, well, America is not the most amazing place in the world, which is hard for us, right? I'll get to that in a minute. But the truth of it is, why do we stand out? Like, why do we have our prosperity? It's because the level of our justice system as it relates to our free market. I mean, other people have free markets, but we do have an exceptional justice system. We do have a crisis, though. We have a real crisis right now, and that crisis is this. The elites in America at the very top don't get prosecuted and go to jail. That's not right. This thing that came up with Hunter Biden, even if it comes up with Trump, this stuff that came up with Hillary Clinton, You know, there seems to be in the, you know, we're all rationalists. There's no world that exists beyond there. The lie of elites is that something exists beyond the veil that we don't understand because they know what's best for us. No offense, Roman, but there's a certain, in certain elitist circles, there's a certain woke modernistic elitism that, you know, look, listen, buddy, you Trumpist, seditionist, red state idiots. You don't know. You don't know what you're talking about. And the truth is that Americans, left or right, have a certain rationality, and rationality is the essence of justice. And you go to moral absolutism of what is right and what is wrong. I think selling uranium to Russia might have been very bad. That would be bad if that actually occurred, right? If Trump did this, that would be, what's the big claim? Lying on his taxes, et cetera. All these things, or Russian collusion, or, you know, everything that came up with him, right? That would be, you know, that would be negative. But there was nothing prosecutable in there. But this thing with right now, according to the Presidential Transition Act of 2019, if there was influence involved in Biden's election, or if the Clintons have used influence, they should be penalized and removed. It's very hard to get to our elites when they're at the top. So we're seeing a change of moral relativism and moral absolutism. We're getting away from constitutional originalism into the living constitution. When the left's in office, they're like, hey, man, we just got to get to our goal. We got to make it happen. So I would say our justice system, what we've seen, the weaponization of the DOJ, there's definitely been some compromises. And Americans, 14% of Americans, like, now fully don't trust the system. That's a low amount of trust. And globally, we're at the bottom of media trust right now. That wasn't a Trump issue. That's been going on for a while. What happened with Fast and Furious was horrible. The weaponization of the IRS prior. So elitists tend to not get busted. So, yes, justice and stability are interrelated in America, but it really feels to me that there is some contamination in the system. I don't know how that's going to be solved now, because it sounds like there's too much politicization in our in the arms of our country that uphold justice, even in our courts. Oh, hey, I don't like the way that what's good for the country. I don't really like what's best for the country, what we want to legislate for the country. So let's pack the bench. Let's legislate from the bench. Let's force through our agenda rather than what's best for we the people in the light of what's enduring, good, and true. So we are in a crisis for sure that I can't see through the veil on. Now, I had Alan Dershowitz on the show the other day, and not Dershowitz, David Horowitz, definitely different. David Horowitz on the show, and I said, is there a deep state? Are there people that have an agenda that don't care about justice? And he said something great. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, if the wrong contaminating ideas come into place, you don't have to have organizational substructures. The ideas organize the movements themselves. And once again, so I got, we have Roman on here. I'd love to hear what he has to say during the show, too, is, I don't demonize the left. I'm an American, man. I'm a conservative. I've written this book. I'm more concerned about the truth navigating us back and through left and right, left and right. We swing left and right, 51-48, 52-48. We go back and forth. As long as our big shift keeps headed toward truth. I think.
Hello.
Did we lose you? I'm still on. Okay, well, he'll come back. Roman, since you got mentioned twice.
Yes, I did.
And hopefully he'll be coming, Jed will be coming back. You got any thoughts?
I mean, honestly, I agree with him, to be honest.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
Yes, I said I agree with him.
Okay.
I agree with him in regards to justice and truth, and that through justice and truth is really how both sides will come together and can move this big ship that called the United States of America forward. That has always been my belief. And so I actually completely agree with him.
Is he back? Chad, right? Are you back?
I'm glad I came back for that part.
Yeah, I know, right? Perfect timing. I was just saying how much that I actually do agree with you. I mean, the justice is where you will find both the left and right coming together. And that is, and that is what is most important and what is most paramount and what we really truly should focus on. And I agree with you, the elites of this country, the top 1%, are excluded from our justice system. So as long as you have that going, you don't have a just country. And that is a critical flaw and a critical error that needs to be corrected first and foremost.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you for that. I'll throw my take in. And Roman knows, I get real particular with words just because that's the way I am. And I understand the word truth, and I think I understand how people use it, but I find it can sometimes be misleading. I like the word facts. I want justice and I want facts. I will figure out my truth. I don't need anyone to tell me what it is. I want facts. Hard, cold, carved in stone, provable facts. Now, yeah, and I agree. And I like the way you described it, Jed. We are in a real crisis internally. I have a potential solution. It's simple. It's basic. It's kind of the way I go after the monetary system. The solution is return to the Constitution. We have to get rid of everything, you know, step by step in a proper, effective, not too disruptive manner. We have to get rid of everything the federal government does that is not constitutional. And one way to find that out, there's a person out there, G.R. Mobley. His thing is a Republic Review, which is basically review the federal government, see what's legal, what's not. If it's not legal, it's gone. Because that's how we have to go back to the original recipe. Understand it, take care of it, move it forward. Because when federal government keeps saying, you all are too dumb, you're too lazy, you don't know the right thing. Only we know the right thing. This is incredibly dehumanizing. And how can somebody tell me what is best for me when they don't even know me? That is supreme arrogance. Last thoughts, Judd, on this, and we can move to another chapter if you'd like.
I cannot top that beautiful ending. I say we move on. I mean it. That was great. That we have to take government down to personal basic humanity, and you just did that.
Well, thank you very much. All right. Chapter two. I like this. Life is not fair and people are inherently unequal. It's about free market capitalism and individual liberty. I'll just throw a few things in, and then, Judd, I want to hear from you. And that is, we are meant by design. This is my opinion. We are all totally individual, unique. By design. And that we come with different gifts and different difficulties. So, yes, we are inherently unequal. But what helps a person become the best that they can be? Is it help them learn how to work for a hand up so they can turn around and help someone else? Or is it to wait for a handout? I think it's the first. That brings value to someone's life, and they learn they can be more than what they think they can be. And it brings the humanism in of people helping others. Free market capitalism is a tool. Can it be misused? Yes. But don't blame the tool for how it's being misused. It brings incentive. It brings creativity. If no matter what you do, you're only going to get X, how hard are you going to work? And if you're told all that you're going to get is what I tell you you're going to get, is that truly individual liberty? Judd, your thoughts.
Let's turn to a quote in the book that I loved. Government is to be limited to its just purposes, namely securing justice. Justice, Madison wrote in the Federalist Paper, number 51, is the end of government. It is the end of civil society. It has been and will ever be pursued until it's obtained, until liberty be lost in the pursuit. Social justice, environmental justice, LGBTQ justice. We want to de-risk Americans. And this is me, for me, what you're saying, the fatal flaw on an individual level is making people dependent. You know, is one of the things that happened with COVID was crazy. So personal story. It was 1987. Judd Dunning is in a fraternity at Colorado State University, which turned me into a hard leftist at the time. Partying my tail off back in the day as a Gen Xer. And, you know, I was wild. They would say, well, you know, he's a party boy. Well, a party boy would use a little bit of cocaine and a little bit of alcohol, a few Quaaludes, and a lot of drinking. And I found myself completely out of control in this period, you know, in the 80s. And I had to go to rehab. I was like one of the first guys to go to rehab. It was before Oprah was talking about it, right? I've been sober for like 30-something years. And so I go up there, and I go to rehab, and I come out to a halfway house in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And they sit down, and they say, hey, Mr. Dunning, you know, for you to pay here, because I burned through all my college money and everything, dropped out, and then went back, finished. And they said, we need you to sign up on unemployment welfare. You know, you're going to get this car. I'm like, what? You know, are you kidding me? You know, I may be a drunken alcoholic. I was just a wild kid. He goes, but I'm not dependent on the government. He goes, well, no, he said, this is in this one situation, you're going to be here for 6 months. It's noble. It cuts our food costs. It helps our program. And I was on EDD, right? And it was appropriate moment. Our social fabric came in. I had come from a great family that had addiction problems, right? And wonderful people, but we were wild as mountain cats. And, you know, I had that gene, and I relied on the government, you know. And, you know, it was the appropriate moment. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't ever talk about this. Now, everybody's on PPP, EDD, or THC. It's like we normalized being on the government teat in 1 year through the pandemic. 1 year, because they wanted to de-risk. They want to de-risk our lives. Nobody can die of the flu, which we can go a whole thing on. But nobody can die. There can't be any risk for America. Well, there can be risk. Our whole system is based on risk. And when people say, "I want to de-risk America through justice," right? Back to our chapter: life is not fair, and people are inherently unequal. Free market capitalism, individual liberty. The system destroys itself because it wasn't set up that way. We're not supposed to trust the government, as we talked about in our first chapter. And now you're supposed to be individually a contributor to America, not a taker, a sustainer, a wealth creator, a provider to bring the society. If you can't be, we have structures for that, right? We have Social Security, we have Medicare, we have a just and fair system, good enough. We have EDD, but now we're suddenly becoming a culture of dependency. You know, it's always England. Oh, English people, it's okay to live on the dole if you're an artist, or it's okay if you're Orthodox in Israel to live on their dole because you're pursuing God. Different cultural norms. But in America, it's not okay, you know, unless you're under extreme circumstances, to use our safety net and then get the hell out. Like, go work, get back to work. You know, they cover this on a societal level. Is back in the day, like when you were in villages before we were all split over the place, right? Then somebody would have problems. The community, not government, would come around them. They would carry them. And as soon as you were done and back on your feet, get the hell out of the bucket. Somebody else needs to get in there. We need to help them. And you, guess what? Now you get to help them and use your experience going through the fire, and you get to grow in character and get closer to yourself and God and evolve by being of service to other people. But now, oh, no, government will do it. Government will do it. Oh, well, government will give us environmental justice. Government will now put, you know, transgender people in women's sports, destroying their whole journey of personal excellence in sports as a metaphor for life itself. And we just keep destroying things after things after things. So it comes down to de-risking. We didn't set the system up to de-risk it. We do want it to be just. But after that, you know, you got to get out there and do it on your own. And the big problem that we've had now is racial justice, right? Everyone's saying that the entire system is fractured because cultural Marxists are using this as a racist country against everything else there. And everything else is piling onto that, and we're creating division, and we're dragging ourselves back into 1964. And I had Brandon Tatum come on our show last night. And he was like, hey, America, I'm black American, as he calls himself, an American of African descent. They said, black cop. And he goes, we're not a racist country. We're being sold this. We're being hijacked because they want power to expand political expansion of big government. So it's a complicated issue. But ultimately, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach him to fish a lifetime. We all know those that are coddled get weaker. So we have to really be careful. This is the formulaic foundation of American exceptionalism.
Judd, thank you so much for that. Couple of comments, and then we'll move on. Thank you for sharing the personal story, because it really shows what kind of strong individual you are to make such changes.
I have to say one thing, circumstance, not virtue. most people change because we have to, but thank you for that. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. This idea of de-risking America, you make things safe to a point. You can't de-risk everything, but if you're going to quote unquote de-risk America through justice, the first question that comes to my mind is that even possible? Of course not. You can't do it. And another thing you brought up, which I, with the cultural Marxism and everything, and I see it. First, create a problem. Actually, you don't even create one. You get people to imagine a problem exists. You get them to believe it. And then you bring in the central government's ability to fix it, which it never has. Because if it had the ability to fix things, well, let's see. How are we doing on the war on poverty? Oh, that's still going on. It's been going on since the 60s. The federal government is not designed to do what is being asked of it or they're saying they can do. Therefore, it's impossible to de-risk America through justice. You de-risk America by getting people involved and being the best they can be and giving the opportunities, because people are generally, not everyone, of course, but generally, people are good people. And when you help them learn how to even be better, they'll even be better at it. Before we wrap up, and before we get rushing into the close, Judd, thank you so much for being here. We got about 5 minutes left, but I'd like you to promote yourself.
All right. I read a quote on Twitter the other day. If you don't promote yourself, no one will. Back to our old theme. Thank you so much, guys. So it's been a fun journey. I'll tell you what I'm doing real quick, and if you can follow us. We wrote the book. I'm a Newsmax regular on American Agenda and the Happy Hour. That's a fun show on Fridays at like noon or 1. I've been in that family for a while. I'm on the National Report on Thursday mornings. I and one of the guys I used to do comedy with, I was a stand-up comedian and actor, filmmaker, writer, and then I've been in the financial sector for 20 years and done some pretty good things there. And then we also, I've been in politics for about 6 or 7 years. So what we do, is we try to poke some fun at the liberal thought balloon, the parts of it that don't work, not the good, noble, sustaining parts. So, we drop a few jokes. And I have this thing. It's like one or two. Be kind of a smart ass, if I can say that. Sorry. Once or twice, because it makes people laugh and think, and then get to the meat of things. So that's kind of our brand. So we have a show called Unapologetic, KABC, AM 790. You can catch us every Monday night at 7 p.m. here in Los Angeles throughout the whole market. And then we also do a video called Unapologetic at Bullet Point Nation, where I take on cancel culture of the week with comedy, pretty cutting comedy at this point. Of course, I'm successful enough that nobody can really cancel me. I have an article. I have articles there at Newsmax.com. I'm a Newsmax insider there. So everything you can get there through following me at Judd Dunning. You can buy the book on Amazon or through Newsmax at Judd Dunning on Twitter. Or Bullet Point Nation. So it's at Judd Dunning on Twitter or bulletpointnation.com, bulletpointnation.com. And you can kind of get into our world there, and it'd be fun to have people along. And real honor to be here. Thank you. A new book's coming too. A new book's coming. I'll just tell you about that. The next book I'm going to write is about 13 and a half reasons to love America. Because I could write a book about everything that's not going well. I'm going to write a book about everything that's great.
Wonderful. I look forward to it. Roman, we got about a minute or so. You want to say goodbye?
Yeah. Hey, well, thanks for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure. So for those of you just tuning in, my name is Roman Valenzuela. I'm a producer over at Seamless Podcast. You can check out all of our content at seamlesspodcast.com. And Alan and I actually have a podcast that we're working on called Focal Points. You can check us out on any of your major podcast platforming streaming sites that you do. So, yeah, that'd be great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Roman. Appreciate it. We're coming into our last minute. I want to thank Roman for being here. I want to thank Judd Dudding. Thank you very much for sharing. It has been a wonderful chat. Hope to have more with you. This has been the Power Hour. We're about education. We're about facts. About getting the conversation going, not finishing it, getting it going in a proper, humane, civil, helpful way. Because if we don't do that, kind of missing the boat. And I would like to wrap with this. This is to all you good people out there, you lovers and defenders of liberty, freedom, rights, individuality, equality of opportunity. To all you patriots out there, and you know who you are. Till next time, may you be and stay safe and well. Patriot out. Have a great day. This has been the Power Hour.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.